The story of Judas is a tragic one, probably the most tragic in all of Scripture. His name is synonymous, isn't it, with betrayal. You think of Judas and you think of betrayal. And we don't know exactly why in Matthew's gospel Judas did betray Christ. It's possible that he thought that Jesus was holding back from some great revolution and movement towards the crown of Israel. And so Judas, by betraying Christ, maybe he thought he was kind of forcing the hand of Christ to lead this revolution. Of course, it's also possible that he was just simply greedy. We don't know. All we know is that Judas went and brokered a deal with the chief priests, with the Pharisees, with the enemies of Jesus. And before you know it, he was betraying Christ with a kiss for 30 pieces of silver. After he was betrayed, Jesus was arrested, questioned, he was spit on, he was mocked, and he was beaten. His friends had fled, and Peter denied him. And Judas, at this point, knew that he had condemned Christ to death. Now, when Judas saw the result of his terrible betrayal, his treachery, Matthew tells us that something in Judas was then affected. Something was changed within him. It was more than a changing of the mind. It was remorse. It was deep regret and sorrow. He felt this sorrow so deeply that he went back to the temple with the 30 pieces of coins and offered them back to the chief priests. And he even confessed before them, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." But the chief priests had no forgiveness for him. They had no absolution. They just said, "Well, what is that to us?" And in despair, Judas threw the coins on the floor, fled the temple, and hung himself. A tragic story. In the second half of our reading from Matthew, Christ tells a parable that is directly targeted at the enemies of Christ, the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, those who would later seek someone like Judas to betray him. And this parable is a damning one. It's intended to put these people in their proper place, because on the surface, these men were doing all the right things. They knew the right things. They said the right things. They dressed the right way. They said and practiced things correctly. They were the ones who looked the most out of everyone to be people of faith. But they lacked something significant. Two things, in fact. First is they lacked faith. They lacked belief in Jesus. Even the smallest kind of belief, they lacked that. But what they also lacked was remorse, regret, sorrow for being a sinner, if they even recognize themselves as sinners to begin with. So Jesus tells them this parable about a man with two sons. This man is a vineyard owner, and he tells his first son to go work in the vineyard. And the man tells him, "I will not." Blatantly disobeys the command of his father. But later on, we hear from Jesus that this man changed, and he went. Now what that son shows is remorse. The word used of what this man shows is the same thing that Judas shows when he sees Christ condemned. It's remorse. It's sorrow. It's regret. It's deep in the heart sorrow for not doing what his father commanded him to do. And because of this sorrow, he then goes and does the bidding of his father. He is obedient. The second son, however, after his father tells him to go work in the vineyard, says, yeah, I'll go. He even calls his father, sir. He calls him Lord. But then he doesn't go and work. After this, Jesus asks the crowd around him, specifically his opponents, his enemies, these religious people, which son did the will of the Father? And the answer is obvious. It's the first son. Even though he initially refused to be obedient to the Father, he showed regret. He showed remorse. He showed sorrow. He showed repentance. And then he showed obedience. In explaining the parable, Jesus likens the first son to tax collectors and prostitutes. This is a phrase that comes up in the Gospels quite often, and what is meant by it is the worst of the worst. Tax collectors and prostitutes, they were notorious, sinful people, and they knew it, and everybody else around them knew it. They were plain and obvious sinners. But like the first son, these are sinners who have shown remorse, shown sorrow, regret for their sin. And more important yet, they also showed belief and faith in Jesus Christ. And because of this, Jesus says, theirs is the kingdom of God. And then he looks at the chief priests, the scholars, the elders, the Pharisees, all the ones who look the part of a person of faith, and he says to them, you're condemned. You might be faithful looking, but you lack sorrow. You have not been changed by the word of John the Baptist, by my word. You do not believe in me. You lack remorse for your sin. Whenever we read the parables of Christ, we are forced to ask ourselves some questions. And this morning, I ask myself, and we ask ourselves, do you regret your sin? Do you feel sorrow for it? Does it make you remorseful for disobeying the will of the Father? If you do, that's actually God's intention, that we would feel sorrow for our sin. This is what the scriptures are supposed to do for us, to cut us, to wound us, to make us feel sorrow for what we have done in disobeying the Lord. But it is also God's desire for you not to feel the despair, the hopelessness that Judas, the betrayer, felt. Because while Judas and the tax collectors and the prostitutes all felt sorrow for their sin, felt remorse, felt it deep in their soul, it's the tax collectors and prostitutes and countless sinners after them who had something that Judas did not, which is faith and belief in Christ. Trust in Jesus. You have heard the word of Christ. You have read the word of Christ, and you know by this that Christ is your Lord and your Savior. And you, with your faith, have grasped and held on to the word that is the forgiveness of sin. That beautiful word that wipes tears from eyes, releases and frees up the sorrowful soul to be one of joy and comfort. This gift is given to you today as you confess your sin, as you repent. It is the gift of assurance that you are, in fact, loved by the Lord, loved by the Father, not because of your holiness, but because of Christ's holiness given to those who believe. Those who have faith to grasp on to this word of forgiveness are free. Free to live a life of joy. Free to eat and drink of the body and blood of Christ given for you for the forgiveness of sin. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Lord, help us by your word, by your spirit, to feel sorrow for when we disobey your word, to feel regret, to feel remorse, but also, Lord, to know in faith that you forgive us. Call us by your spirit to live lives that are worthy of you, worthy of the name that is placed upon us. We pray this in your name. Amen.